Who's here for today's shiur. Our weekly Bite of Torah series is sponsored by Jake and Karen Abelevitz. Eloi Nishmas, in memory of Jake's parents, Eliyahu ben Abba and Leah bas Avraham. In the zchus of our learning together, the neshamas should indeed merit a great aliyah. Okay. The topic of today's shiur is Miketz. It's all about Shever Mitzrayim. And I would like to take us through a little bit of a walk through the psukim of this week's Sedra, and specifically the story of Yosef. Specifically the story of Yosef when he has already risen to his position and he begins the encounter with his brothers. So that takes us to Perek Mem Beis, I believe. And we're actually going to start from a few psukim at the end of Perek Mem Aleph, chapter 41. So let's start from Revi'i, which is chapter 41, pasuk 53. Vatechilena, you know what, I'll put on my screen just in case anybody needs it. But as I always say, it's best if you if you're using an actual chumash. One second. Okay. Just scroll right up here. There we go. Okay, so we'll start here, pasuk 53. Vatichlena sheva shnei hasava asher haya be'eretz Mitzrayim. The years of plenty, the years of abundance, came to an end in Mitzrayim. Vatichlena sheva shnei hara'av lavo kasher amar Yosef, and the years of famine began just as Yosef indeed had predicted. And there was a famine in the lands of Egypt, in other words, all of the lands in the area. But in Mitzrayim per se, although there was a famine in all of the lands, Egypt had bread. And the people were starving, and they cried out to Paro for bread. Vayomer Paro, and Paro said to the people of Egypt, he didn't say let them eat cake, but rather he said, Lechu el Yosef, go to Yosef. Now, the reason why I said let them eat cake is not just, to recall, who was it? Who was the queen who said that, let them eat cake? I forgot who. Marie Antoinette. Thank you. Marie Antoinette. So it's not just that Marie Antoinette said, let them eat cake. But when she said, let them eat cake, that was basically divesting herself of any responsibility for the public. And I think that this pasuk indicates that Paro basically said, I'm not responsible. By Yomer Paro, Paro says to the people, Lechu el Yosef, go to Yosef, asher yamar lachem tasu, whatever he tells you to do, you shall do. In other words, Paro did not really assume any responsibility. Now, you could say he assumed responsibility by appointing Yosef to begin with. But, or maybe, you could say that that he was the chairman, and he appointed a responsible professional, and he didn't want to mix in to the to the role of the professional. But the way I seem to read it is Paro basically said, "Not my job, not my business. Whatever Yosef says, in other words, Yosef will take the fall. Yosef will take the credit. I'm not going to dirty my hands with this." The harav hayal pnei kol haaretz. And there was famine in the land. Vayiftach Yosef is kol asher bahem. And Yosef opened up, meaning he opened up the storage houses. Vayiftach Yosef is kol asher bahem. Vayishbor lemitzrayim. and he gave out food to all of Mitzrayim. Okay. All right. So if we see this pasuk that Yosef provided, you know, food for all of Egypt, I'm wondering, is there any you know, anomaly that you see in this pasuk that might be worth commenting on? Vatirav Vayomer Paro Lechul Yosef Asher Amar Lechem Tasu V'Harav Hayal Kol Pnei Haaretz 56. Yosef opened up, you know, all the storehouses. Vayishbor leMitzrayim, vayechazak harav beEretz Mitzrayim, and he gave out the food to the Egyptians, and he, you know, and the famine was, you know, getting worse and worse as it progressed. So, is there any issues in this pasuk that you think might be worthy of commentary? Anybody? Okay. So, you know, what's the word for food in Hebrew? Let's start with that. What's the word for food in Hebrew?
Ochel.
Right. So, ochel is the word for food in Hebrew. Now, the pasuk here says that. That there was a great famine in the land. Vayishbor leMitzrayim. So Vayishbor leMitzrayim apparently means, at least according... I'm curious, anybody have an art scroll English, how they translate that? Or a Hertz or any other English? Curious.
What pasuk are you on?
56. 56. Nun Vav. 41:56.
Mem Aleph 56.
Yeah. What did you say, Ronnie?
The famine spread all over the face of the earth. Joseph opened all the containers and sold provisions to Egypt, and the famine became severe in the land of Egypt.
Okay, so there already we have a different translation than the Sfaria, which I just used. Vayishbor means he sold provisions. Vayishbor, he sold...
Jewish. Okay.
Right. So Vayishbor leMitzrayim, he sells the provisions. Okay. Are there any other English translations that you're using?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Judy.
Opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine was sore in the land of Egypt.
Okay, so here we also have the idea of selling, right? So he opened the storehouses and he sold it, and he sold the stuff in the storehouses. Now, any other English translations anybody using? Anybody? All right. So go ahead.
No, I also have art scroll.
Okay. I'm just going to take a look at one other. This is called Merkava. It's an online resource. I've used it at various times in the Shir, and I highly recommend it. It has advantages and disadvantages versus Sefaria. Sefaria has the advantage of going, you know, sort of pasuk by pasuk and seeing exactly what you're looking at. And you don't quite have that same sweep of view on Merkava. But Merkava, also you have the traditional look and feel of the page of a Chumash. And you have the, you know, and you have the Mefarshim also, you know, underneath, in terms of usability, each one has its pros and cons. Okay, but I'm just going to take a look here. And this is how Merkava, this is their translation. Go back one. Pasuk here. Okay. V'harav hayal p'nei kol ha'aretz. And Yosef opened the storehouses and sold to Mitzrayim. So they also have the word sold. Now, if I were to ask you, is there another word in Hebrew that you would think that could be used for the word sold? What would that word be?
Vayimkor.
Yeah, vayimkor. So it is a little strange. If we're talking about selling, then it should say vayimkor, or it could say, I don't know, should say, but vayimkor I think would be the more simple word. Or if we're focusing on the fact that this was grain and storehouses, you know, Vayimkor Dagan or Chita, wheat, or, you know, something along those lines. So Vayishbor is an interesting word, to use. Okay. If you look up in the Concordancia, which is a book that has basically every word in the Bible, and it tells you exactly where the word is found, and a simple translation of how it's used. So if you look up in the concordance, it has the word shever, which is the root of the word vayishbor, and it says shever means tivua, which means grain. All right, so these are stores of grain, and he took these stores of grain, vayishbor, and apparently he sustained, you know, the people. Right? In other words, if the root of the word vayishbor shever means grain, and you are then vayishbor, you are providing grain, so it doesn't necessarily mean selling per se, although it could mean that. But clearly, whether it's a focus on the food aspect of it or on the selling aspect of it, I'm not sure that the word vayishbor is necessarily the most, the most obvious word to choose. And I think...
There is a break, to break.
Okay, so that's an interesting thing. Now, the word vayishbor means to break. So maybe there's an illusion here, that it means to break. Maybe it's breaking the famine. You know, maybe he's breaking the hunger, breaking the famine. But before
Rabbi,
we go,
I just heard a shiur from Michal Horowitz, and she said that yishbor shever, to break, is like breaking bread. He's like breaking open the storehouses to supply the people for each individual need.
Great.
So that's how we get break bread. You're
great.
Breaking to give to everybody else to establish. Giving over to others so that they don't starve and they have their fill.
Okay, go ahead, Barbara.
It's like breaking fast.
Like breaking what?
Breaking the fast.
Breaking the fast, right. But this already is an interpretation, right? In other words, why is the Torah using a word that demands interpretation? Use a more simple word that will convey a more precise an accurate reflection of what is going on here. And I would suggest that this isn't just a one-off, because let's read the psukim, and we will see that this word comes up over and over again. So let's, I'm going to share my screen with you, for those of you who might prefer that. So let's go back, oh, there's Merkava. What happened to my Sfaria? All right, I have Merkava up on the screen, so I guess we'll use Merkava. V'chol ha'aretz ba'u mitzrayma lishbor el Yosef ki chazak hara'av b'chol ha'aretz. And all the people of the land came lishbor el Yosef. So that means lishbor el Yosef, right? So they came to get provisions from Yosef. But again, isn't there a more easy way to say that? Liknot el Yosef, le'echol, to eat, to buy, to get, to acquire, you know. So, lishbor, nevertheless, is the word that's used. Ki chazak harav b'chol ha'aretz. Vayar Yaakov ki yesh shever b'mitzrayim. And now Yaakov sees that there is shever, which means grain, in Mitzrayim. Now, again, it could shever means grain. And maybe that's the best thing, because you need grain in order to make bread, and that's like the staple of life. But I suspect that it's not just about the Shever Mitzrayim, it's not just about the grain of Mitzrayim, but it is about generally having food. If there's no grain, then the animals can't eat. If the animals can't eat, then you can't have food. So maybe... grain was the only thing that they were buying because that will allow everything else. But grain is only going to allow for bread and for the animals. You know, what about anything else? So, you know, was that the only thing that was available? My point is that that maybe shever is the right word to use, maybe, but maybe there's a more general word to use here. If it were just, you know, this, then I would let it be. But it's not just this pasuk. It's the pasukim that we had before and the pasukim that we will follow up with now. Vayomer Yaakov Levanav Lama Tisrao, and Yaakov says to his sons, why are you... This word Lama Tisrao has many different interpretations, but we'll go with, you know, why are you concerned? Vayomer Hine Shamati Ki Yesh Shever B'Mitzrayim. Behold, I've heard, there is Shever in Mitzrayim. So this word Shever, folks, when it comes up over and over and over again, is no longer just simply a word that conveys simple information. Once a word like this comes up over and over again, then you have to ask yourself, because of the fact that it is not the only word that could be used, why is it that this word is chosen? And it's chosen in preponderance. And not only that, there is a more simple word that could be used. And not only that, if you look in the entire Chumash, Breishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, do you know how many times the word Shever is used outside the context of our story here? I think zero. I'm not sure if it's used even once. So, I mean, in the Navi it's used, but in Breishis through Devarim, the word Shever is only used in this context. So, if that is the case, we must ask ourselves again the question: what is the meaning here? And the word Vayishbor, which means to, you know, buy or sell, to buy or sell food. So that too is only used in this context here. So the fact that you have this word, which is somewhat unique, and it's only used in this context, really begs the question: what's the Torah getting at by using this this unique terminology here? So let's continue. Redu shama, go down, and you'll get the food. Vishivru lanu misham. There we have it again. And we will live, and we will not, die. All right. Vayer duache Yosef asara lishbor bar b'mitzrayim. And the brothers of Yosef went down to buy grain in Mitzrayim. Vez binyamin ache Yosef lo shalach Yaakov es echav ki amar pen yikra'enu ason. Binyamin, he didn't want to send. Vayavo b'nei Yisrael lishbor b'toch habayim. B'nei Yisrael came for the purposes of lishbor, to buy provisions. Ki haya rav b'eretz Kinaan. V'Yosef hu ha-shalit al ha'aretz. Yosef was the ruler. Hu ha-mashbir l'chol ha-ma'aretz. He is the one who sold to everyone in the land. So we have this word mashbir, shavar, vayishbor, shever, vayar Yosef esecha vayakireim, and Yosef recognized his brothers. He saw them and he recognized them. Vayit naker alehem, and he disguised himself. Well, actually, vayit naker alehem, at least this English translation says, he acted like a stranger to them. Vayit naker alehem. Does anybody have a different translation in any English translation that you're using? Vayit naker alehem. Anybody? I can't see you, so if you have something, feel free to...
It's called Brits. Gives the same definition.
Same definition. Okay.
It comes from the Sheres Nachar, a stranger.
Okay.
Nachri. Nachri, right?
Nachri.
So vayit naker alehem. Vayit naker alehem. He was somehow unrecognizable, or caused himself vayit naker alehem. Vayidaber itam kashot, and he spoke to them harshly. Vayomer alehem, me'ayin basem, vayomer me'aretz Kanaan lishbar ochel. Where are you from? And they said, we came from Kanaan lishbar ochel. Again, this word lishbor. Yaker Yosef, Hemlo Ikiru, he recognized them, but they did not recognize him. Okay.
Rabbi?
Yes.
So I noticed where it said Mashbir, it reminded me of the place in Eretz Yisrael.
Well, that's why the Mashbir in Yerushalayim is called the Mashbir, because it provides provisions, for people who need.
Provider. It says HaMashbir Yosef was the provider.
Whose translation is that?
Our scroll. It's in Pasuk Vav. It says he was the provider to all the people of the land.
Right. Okay. Okay. All right. Hu HaMashbir L'chol Am HaAretz. Okay. So we see different nuances here in the translation, but clearly. The idea of Shever, Mashbir, Vayishbor is somehow not just a word being used to communicate facts, but is meant to impart a bigger idea. What that idea is, we'll get to in a moment. So, before we answer that question, I want to ask the. Let's see, I'll do it this way. Okay. Vayitnaker yu'alehem. Yosef acted like a stranger to them. Vayitnaker vayidaber itam kashot, and he spoke with them harshly. So Rashi and Mefarshim say, what does it mean, vayitnaker? If you look here on the page that I have, see that this is the downside of Merkava. Merkava doesn't have English translation for the Mefarshim at all, or as far as I know. Sfaria, a lot of Rashi is, I think, translated. So, but vayitnaker lehem na'asa lahem hanachri bidvarim ledaber kashot. He made himself like a stranger to them by speaking to them very harshly, as opposed to a brother, right? So. And he says to them, "Where you come from?" And so he spoke to them in a harsh manner. Now, why did Yosef speak to them in a harsh manner? So there are two basic strands in the Mefarshim, or why Yosef. Why Yosef hid his identity to them? So there are two basic strands in the Mefarshim as to why he did it. And I'd say the dominant strand is that by Yitnaker he disguised himself because he recognized that the dreams that he dreamt of all those years earlier, were about to come to fruition, and he was going to do his part to help realize those dreams. Okay, Vayomer Aleihem, and he says to them. 1 second. Vayizkor Yosef es hachalomos. Yosef remembered the dreams, asher chalam lahem, that he had dreamt all those years earlier. Yomer alehem miraglum atem. And he says, you are spies. Lirot eservas haaretz basem. You came to spy out the land, to see its weaknesses. Vayomer elav, and they said to him, lo adoni, no, my master, abadecha bo lishbar ochel. We came simply to buy food, to get food, lishbor ochel. And here we have a little change of phraseology. Instead of saying lishbor shever, it says lishbor ochel. We came to get food. Kulanu b'nei ish echad nachnu. We are all the sons of one man. Keinim anachnu from Canaan. Lo hayu avadacha meraglim. We are for sure not spies. Vayomrei lav, and they said to him, "Lo adoni avadecha ba lishbar." I'm sorry, that's another downside here of Merkava. When you click to the next page, it doesn't give you the entire next page; it gives you the next pasuk. So here we go. I think I'm going to switch back to Safari in a second. Vayomrei, and they said, "Shnei masar avadecha chim anachnu bnei ish echad be'eretz Kinaan." We are all the sons of one man, 12 brothers, and our youngest one is not with us. Vayomer Elohim Yosef, and Yosef said, "No, you are in fact spies." And they say, no, Bezos Tibachenu, you know, you can test us out. Shilchu Mikem Echad. And he says, Shilchu Mikem Echad, V'yikaches Achichem V'atem He'asru. So we're going to test it out. You know, you'll send one person back. The rest of you will stay. We'll figure out whether you, in fact, are spies or not. Yosef puts him in jail for 3 days. And the story continues, and we're going to skip this part over here. They go home. Let's see here. All right, folks, I'm going to go to Sfaria just so I can get everything on more easily here. Okay, sorry about that. And then, okay. All right, so they make the deal with Yosef, and they go back up to Mitzrayim. Pasuk 18. No, sorry. Yeah. Pasuk 18. Vayomer lehem Yosef bayom ha-shlishi. On the third day, he said to them, "This is what you're going to do. Im kenim atem, if you're indeed honest people, and as you said, you know that everything that you said is true. Achichem echad yaser beis mishmarchem atem luchu haviu shever ra'avon batechem. You're going to go back and you're going to bring this shever to fill the famine in your house." So now you have Yosef using the term Shever. V'esachichem ha-katon tavi elai, you're going to bring your brother to me. Pasuk 21. V'yomer ishal achiv. And they say to each other, Hashemim anachnu, woe to us, we are guilty. This is what is this is happening to us because what we did to Yosef all those years earlier. Skip down. They go back. Pasuk 26. V'yisu et shivram. They take their Shever. Vayelchu misham, and they leave. And of course, on the way, they find out that there is money that has been apparently put into their bags, and they're going to be and they're afraid they're going to be accused of robbery, of thievery. They come back to Yaakov, and they tell him everything that happened. And here we have Pasuk 37, Vayomer Reuven. Reuven says, "Father, don't worry. If we go back to Egypt and we take Binyamin with us, I will put my own kids up against them. And if anything happens, my own kids will bear the brunt of it." Harav Kaved Maod, and the famine was great. Vayhi Asher Kilu Lechol Et Hashever, and when they finished eating what they had brought from Egypt, again the word shever, the father says, "Shuvu shivru lanu me'at ochel, go and get more food." Shuvu shivru ochel. So, pasuk 4, Nerda v'nishbira lecha ochel. Let's go down and we will procure more food. Okay. So over and over again, folks, we have this word shever, Shivru, Vayishbor, Hamashbir. Over and over again, this word is used. And the question which we're now going to get to is why. Yeah, go ahead.
This time it says Ochel.
Yeah, right. That is correct. So, what does the word Shever mean? What does the word Shever mean? So on the one hand, shever means food and provisions. Barbara, what did you say shever means?
Right.
Well, no, I said a break.
A break. Okay. Right. So shever can also mean a break. Okay. Anybody else have a meaning for the word shever?
Hansborough keeps putting provisions every time. Is a derivation of the word.
Okay. So so it's some type of provisions, food, something along those lines.
Right.
Okay. All right. So the Medrash was bothered by this terminology. And it's a short Medrash, so I don't have it on your screen, but I want to just read you a very brief Medrash. Let's see. Hold on a second. says that this is the Medrash, and it's cited in a book called Torah Shlema. One second. Okay, so listen to this. This is Hu HaMashbir L'chol Haaretz. He is the provider. He is the one who's going to sell all the provisions to all the people in the land. Says the Medrash, Al Tikra Mashbir, Ella Masbir. Don't read it as the word Mashbir with a shin, but rather Masbir. So what exactly is Masbir? What does Masbir mean?
Being explained, just like the summer.
Okay, so it could mean like the explainer, but what is he doing, Yosef, as the, you know, the great explainer? So again, Rabbi Kasher in his commentary here writes the following: Hamasbir b'sever panim yafos kibel kol bnei adam b'sever panim yafos. What the Torah is telling us is that he was a mashbir. He was the provider. And he did it with a fine, happy countenance. Right, the people came; they were in dire need, and he treated them nicely. Right, that might be a fine way to explain Yosef as the mashbir. Why the word mashbir is used? There's a double entendre here, but that doesn't help us with all the other shevers and vayishbars and all of that. So there is yet another medrash. And the Medrash says that you have to, you know, there are no nekudos in the Torah. Right? There are no nekudos in the Torah. There's no vocalization points in the Torah. So that word mem, and then what's the next letter after the mem in mashbir? What's the next? Shin. Well, that's right. Maybe it's a sin.
Right.
So what's the difference if it's... mashbir or masbir, with a shin or a sin. So Rabbi Kashi here cites a medrash, and he says that it means with a sin, it means to provide hope. It means to provide hope. And there are psukim in Tanakh that, you know, that it's used in that way. Okay, so there are three versions. There are three, I would say, usages of this word mashbir. Mashbir, as it's read in the pshat, means either to break, to sell and buy food. And there might be a connection between those two, because breaking hunger or breaking famine or breaking bread. But there's but it also can mean, if we understand it as a sin, as a double meaning here, right, that it's providing hope. Now there is yet one more explanation of the word shever, which means to break. And that is not to break hunger. But Yaakov saw, what was that?
I think that it's a double entendre, because it's much beer. On the one hand, he's you know, servicing and helping people. On the other hand, there still is a shever between him and his brothers, because you see how he dealt with his brothers. So he didn't right away have a reunion. He still... harbored some, you know, ill feeling for them, because he never forgave them till the end, right?
Okay, so we have here there's an allusion here, if you will, to the brokenness in the family, right? And yet there's still one other aspect here, and that is that the Medrash says that he saw that Mitzrayim was a place, yesh shever b'Mitzrayim, that the Jews would sort of be broken under the weight of slavery in Egypt. So there's a lot of allusions going on over here in this term shever. But I think that the one that is most, let's say, powerful or profound for me is all of it together. What do I mean by that? Well, it says, "Vayar Yaakov ki yeshever b'Mitzrayim." Yaakov saw that there is shever in Mitzrayim. So, Mitzrayim is a place where the Jewish people will be broken under the weight of slavery, but Mitzrayim is also a place of hope. It's the place that reflects where the brothers are going to confront and encounter one another, and potentially, you know, great conflict between the two. But it's also an opportunity for the brothers to come together. So there is Shever Mitzrayim and Shever Mitzrayim. There is the brokenness of Egypt and there are the provisions of Egypt. There is the Yosef as the Mashbir, as the Masbir, he has Sever Panim Yafot, and he's speaking in nice tones. And yet we find when the brothers come, he talks to them in harsh tones. So what is it that that Yaakov wants them to get in Egypt? Is it simply food? Because if it were simply food, he would say, Yesh ochel b'Mitzrayim. And when they go down and they say that we're seeking food. Ochel is what our father sent us to get. And Yosef could say, well, we have food to sell to you. So what is it that actually that Yaakov is attempting for them to find in Mitzrayim, and what is it that Yosef is attempting to provide them? And I would argue,
maybe Shalom Bayis.
Okay, maybe Shalom Bayis. Anybody else? So I think. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Unity, maybe.
Okay, right. Unity, Shalom Bayis, Achdus, right? All good things. I think that let's just go off on a tangent for literally a minute, and then bring the tangent back to us. Why did Yosef disguise himself in Egypt? Why did he let his brothers know who he was? So as I said, that there seems to be like a dominant, I think the dominant theme amongst the commentaries is that Yosef was trying to effectuate, to bring about, to execute the prophecy of the dreams. So Yosef, on some level, is actually trying to do something good for the brothers. He's trying to do something positive for them. And I'll give you a proof that from the pshat of the psukim, not from a midrashic read, but from the pshat of the psukim, that he's trying to do something good. What does the Torah say when he meets the brothers? It says, "Vayaker Yosef pasuk 8, Vayaker Yosef esachav." He recognizes them, the heim lohi kiruhu, and they don't recognize him. By Yizkor Yosef as Achalomos Asher Chalam Lahem, he remembers the dreams. Translate that for me. Pasuk 9. By Yizkor Yosef, Yosef remembers the dreams. Asher Chalam Lahem.
Yosef, that he dreamed.
You popped out. What does it say? He dreamed. He remembers the dreams. What?
Yosef dreamed about them.
Yosef recalls the dreams that he dreamt about them. Is that what it says? Vayizkor Yosef, I'm in the Hebrew, is that really what it says? I'm saying. Vayizkor Yosef as hachalomos asher cholam. What does lahem mean?
Well, to them.
To them. For
it
you.
Doesn't make...
For them.
Oh, for
not about
them, right.
Not about them. That's not what it says. It doesn't say vayizkor Yosef as hachalomos asher cholam alehem. It says Asher Chalam Lahem. The dreams that he dreamt for them. And this read, or this this observation, because I think it's the simple read of the Pasuk, This is an observation that is provided by Rabbi Shimon Schwab. Yosef dreamt dreams for the brothers, not about the brothers. And the dreams that he dreamt for the brothers is that he is going to be responsible for their physical and spiritual well-being. That's what he dreamt. So he sees his brothers. He recognizes them. Vayezkor zachalomos, and he remembers his responsibility to his brothers. So what is his responsibility to his brothers? Well, there were two dreams. There were dreams about the sheaves of wheat bowing. So that's really about material sustenance. And then there's about the stars and the moon and the constellations in the heavens. That represents the spiritual dimension. Yosef dreamt a dream, two dreams, that he had a basic responsibility to his brothers. And now he sees them all these years later and he remembers, I'm responsible for these guys. These people who threw me in a pit, these people who sold me down to Egypt, these people who did all this stuff for me, I'm responsible for them. And I want to argue, along the lines of the Medrash, that Yaakov, had a prophecy, and Yaakov knew, that Yosef was in Mitzrayim, and he's sending them there for some type of betterment, and Yosef is receiving them to provide some type of betterment, and the betterment that is being provided is not simply food to eat. It is shever. Shever, this word that has multiple meanings. Shever meaning on the one hand, physical sustenance, but also hope. And I think that what Yosef is trying to accomplish here by maintaining his camouflage is forcing the brothers into self-reflection and self-learning. In other words, that they have to come to certain realizations on their own. He cannot provide it to them. Yaakov can't provide it to them. And that's why he sends them down to Egypt. Vayar, Chazal says he sees a prophecy that now that Yosef is alive. And he sends them for Shever. He sends them to repair the rift, to bring Achdus. But how does that all happen? How does that happen? By their engaging in some personal insight about themselves.
Introspection.
And that's why Yosef doesn't break the disguise. It's not to cause them pain and suffering. It's in order to... I mean, it might be pain and suffering, but only the pain and suffering that comes along with, with personal growth. It's that kind of, that kind of suffering. Not suffering for suffering's sake. And so therefore, he maintains the disguise. And so now, let's go back and read these, at least some of these psukim, with that lens on. Let me go back here. Share my screen. Do you see my screen?
No.
What parak and what pasuk?
Hold on.
How far are we going?
All right. You see my screen now?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're gonna go. Up to beginning of chapter 42. And we'll read some psukim from there. With this lens on, Vayar Yaakov, Yaakov sees, Ki yesh shever b'mitzrayim. There is shever, there is hope in Mitzrayim. Vayomer Yaakov Levanov, and he says, why are you afraid? Vayomer hinei shamati ki yesh shever b'mitzrayim. I've seen and I've heard that there is good stuff happening in Egypt for you. There is truth to be learned. There is self-awareness. There is learning. Go down, v'shivru lanu misham. And that's where you're going to find your sustenance. Not just the physical sustenance, but the spiritual sustenance. Vayerdu achei Yosef asara lishbor bar. Now they go down, and they're just going down lishbor bar to get food. Right? Lishbor bar. To go get food. Because Biyamin achei Yosef, he doesn't send. Vayavo'u bnei Yisrael, and they come down lishbor betoch habaim. And they come down to get food just like everybody else. In their minds, they're going to get food. But Yosef is more than that. He's the mashbir. He's not just a guy who provides food. He's a guy who provides succor and hope and comfort. As Chazal say, Mashbir, the double entendre here of Masbir, Sever Panim Yafot, that he greeted everybody with a kind countenance. Yosef is more than that. He's not just a guy, a cashier behind the counter. He's not just a clerk lining the cabinets for the consumer. Vayar Yosef Asecha Vayakireim. Now he sees his brothers and he recognizes them. Vayisnaker alehem. Now, I don't know if this is pshat or not, but Rabbi Abraham J. Torsky says, Vayitnaker alehem means that he was strange to them. Vayitnaker alehem means that he was a stranger to them. Not that he made himself strange to them, But Vayit Naker means that they saw him as a stranger, right? Vayit Naker Alehem Heim Lo Hikiru. They didn't recognize him. So why didn't they recognize him? So Rabbi Abraham J. Torsky, who sees the world both through the lens of the Torah and sees a great psychological insight in the words of the Torah, says that they couldn't see him because they were in denial. Really, how much different did he look all these years later? Chazal tell us that Yosef was a spitting image of their father Yaakov, and even though he didn't have a beard when he left home, but he was a young man when he left home, or a young boy when he left home, and now he was older, and maybe he had a beard. Still, was that reason enough that they wouldn't recognize him? Furthermore, what's the second in command in Egypt taking such an interest in them? Really, I mean, this is something for the local sheriff, the local police chief at best. The second in command is taking issue with them, and he's asking questions about the family, and he wants to see the brother. And Yosef is Yosef Hatzad, Yosef. Well, I'll leave that aside. So it strains a little bit incredulity. I guess it's not impossible, but it strains some level of incredulity to say that they couldn't have figured out who he was. At some point, right? At some point, maybe not the first second, but they're having quite a bit of interaction with him, and they never figure it out. So maybe if it were just this pasuk, you could say, okay, the first 5 minutes. But I'll tell you, there's a guy who came to shul 2 weeks ago, a new face. And when there's a new face in shul, I try to go over and say shalom aleichem and welcome a new person into shul. And I'm looking at the guy, and at first he didn't seem familiar at all to me. And then at some point, I was like, you know what, his face looks a little familiar. But I just chalked it up to, Jews might look familiar to one another. But as it turns out, this was a fellow who 22 years ago I taught him when he was in high school. So, the kid was 16, 17 years old. Actually, I didn't even teach him. He was just in the high school that I was teaching in. So I knew him from around the hallways. So okay, so immediately I didn't recognize the guy. But at some point, you know, you start talking this, that, you know. And that's, so to say that Yosef didn't recognize him at all, the brothers didn't recognize him at all. So says Rabbi Tursky, they're in denial. In their minds, there's no way this could be Yosef. Even for their, for them consciously to even consider it as a possibility. In their heart of hearts, they knew who it was, right? Or maybe on some level they knew, but certainly consciously they were not aware of it. They couldn't make themselves aware of it, because that would be too big of a, you know, too big of a. Of a turnabout for them to handle. So Rabbi Tursky says that they were in a grand state of denial. But Yosef was not in denial, and Yosef knew exactly what he was doing, and this was not about causing them pain and suffering. This was about Yosef living up to his responsibility. And the best way he could live up to his responsibility is by helping them to gain insight about themselves. He could have immediately, unclothed him, taken off the disguise and unmasked himself and said, listen, guys, I'm Yosef, like he does at the end of the parsha. I'm Yosef, Avichai, and all of that. But had he done that, he would have robbed them of the gift of self-discovery. And what does the pasuk say? We came to buy food. And what Yosef understands is that it's not just about buying food. This is about shever, lishbor shever, not lishbor ochel. Shever meaning the idea of not just physical sustenance, but providing hope, and he can provide them much more than they're asking for. And then he goes through this whole ruse, and the ruse is to push them into a place where they are going to have to confront themselves. And what indeed happens? He throws them in prison for a couple of days. And here, Pasuk 21. Vayomer Yishal Achiv, Aval Hashemim Anachnu Alachinu. We are guilty. Asher Ha'inu Tzaras Nafsho B'Hizchanano Aleinu V'lo Shamanu. Al Kein Ba Aleinu Hatzar Hazos. So this is not the end of their self-discovery. It's really the beginning. Because what they're saying here is this suffering is coming upon us because we did not countenance the suffering of our brother. You know, Chazal say, they paint the brothers in a very positive light. And they say that, you know, the brothers had every right to get rid of Yosef, they considered him either to be a Moreid B'Malchus, that he was a rebel against the hierarchical the hierarchical structure of the family, with Yehuda being the king, the monarch. So he was a Moreid B'Malchus. Or that he was considered a Rodef, that he was putting their lives in danger by speaking to Yaakov the way he did. So they come. So Chazal say that, you know, have the most favorable disposition as to what the brothers' intent was and their legitimacy in treating him the way they did. Now, granted all that, let's assume that all to be true, they still sinned. Because it's not enough to do what they considered the right thing. But they didn't countenance, they didn't feel, they didn't appreciate Yosef's suffering, what they were putting him through. Maybe they shouldn't have done anything different, but at least they should have dealt with his suffering. It's not about the consequence. Maybe he deserved that consequence in the minds of Chazal. But Asheimim Anachnu Asher Ra'inu Tzaras Nafsha. We saw his suffering, V'lo Shamanu, and we turned a blind eye and a deaf ear to a cry. Al Kein Ba'aleinu Atzar Hazos. That's why this Tzara has come upon us. This is a gift that Yosef is providing them. But it's not good enough. It's not good enough. That's not the end of the insight. The end of the insight is to understand that they have a responsibility as brother to brother. And that comes about through the whole series of events that Yosef creates, such that they have to stand up for their brother Binyamin. That's, and only after that, only once he sees them stand up for their brother Binyamin, that not that they have to prove anything to him, but they have to learn something about themselves. They have to learn compassion, they have to learn empathy for anybody, but they also have to learn responsibility for their brother. That's the shever. So when they go down, they think they're just going down for, you know, shever bar, you know, to buy bar, to buy grain. But that's not true. Pasuk 26, Vayisu ashivram al chamoreham. They loaded up the rations on their, you know, on their donkeys, and they took it home, right? And then we're not going to read through all the pesukim again, but if we go through the end piece, I'm going to skip over here. When they had eaten up all the rations, all the food which they had brought from Egypt, so when they had eaten le'echol es hashever. So again, in their minds, this is just all about food. When they ate up the food, right? So their father says, "Shivru vayomer elam aviam shivu shivru lanu ma'at ochel." Go and get us a little food. In other words, food is not the essential. Is not the essential thing that I'm sending you there for. I, Yaakov, I'm sending you there for something deeper, something more profound. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. Now, Yehuda says to him, but the man said, we can't come without Binyamin. If you will let our brother go with us, we will go down and get food for you. Nishbara ochel. And if not, the Eincha Mishaleach, and if not, we're not going to go down. So they're still on the food. They're still on the food. Right? And Yehuda steps forward, and Yehuda says, "You know, I'll mortgage my kids. Anochi arvenu pasuk 9 here. If not, I will be, having sinned to you all the days of my life." Okay. So just skip a little further here. He comes down. They come down to Egypt, and they come with Binyamin. And the story unfolds. Okay, so just one more pasuk here, pasuk 20. Vayomru bi Adoni, if you please, my lord, they said. Yarod yaradnu batchila lishbor ochel. We came down once before to procure food. Vayhi kibanu lamalon, and it was when we came home, and we saw that there was. We're admitting that we have these stolen goods, and we're giving you these goods. But look at how they describe themselves. We came down once before lishbor ochel, for food. V'kesef acher huradnu biyadenu lishbor ochel. Now we have brought down us new money to be lishbor ochel, to get more food. And Yosef responds to them, and he says, "Vayomer shalom lachem al tira'u." Don't worry, you know, about the stolen money. And then he proceeds to set them up again. Why? Again, for the purposes of having them gain this self-realization, self-actualization, this understanding of who they are and who their responsibilities are to. And this is what Yosef is attempting to do. So I'll take your question just one second. So to our original question, what is the point of the Torah using this term shever, 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 vayishbor? It's in order to convey both a pshat level understanding that they came to buy food and Yosef sold food. But there's a more profound meaning of this, a more pregnant meaning of this word about the brokenness, meaning the brokenness of the family, the brokenness of the brokenness of Shibud Mitzrayim that will ultimately occur. But also there is hope here. In other words, that there is hope to restore this broken family, and there is hope that is going to come forth from this very difficult learning process that it's about to happen. And the same can be said, ultimately, of Shibud Mitzrayim. Shibud Mitzrayim was very, very painful and very tragic. Shever, it was a brokenness. But there is also something we know that, a silver lining in that tragedy, that the Jewish people coalesce as a nation, and they gain certain sense of humility, and certain other benefits that they get from Shibud Mitzrayim. So at the end of the day, it's all about the shever. It's not about being broken under the shever, but it's about getting hope from the shever. The brokenness is, ironically, what can help to bring about the hope. Because if one learns and gleans in self-introspection and self-actualization and understands better about themselves what they need to do and who they are, then that leads to a more profound future. And that's shever of brokenness and the shever of hope for the future. And that's what Yosef provides. He's the mashbir. He's the mashbir. He provides, he breaks them a little bit. But by breaking them a little bit, he also gives them, he provides them a great gift as well. And this is all based on the fact that he remembers his dreams that he dreamt on their behalf, for them, what his responsibility is for them. And by doing so, he gave them a great gift. Yes, Barbara.
I just want the very beginning. In the very beginning, it says, Ashimim Anachno.
Yes.
So that really the beginning of their tshuva. I mean, it ended with what Reuven said to Yaakov and what Yehuda, did on behalf of Binyamin. But I think it started from the very beginning.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That they were perspective even at the very beginning.
Right. As a consequence of Yosef refusing to unmask himself.
Okay. Rabbi.
Yeah.
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Can this also be manifest in the fact that the luchot, you have the broken luchot next to the hole? Next to the hole.
Yeah.
So in order to, saying what you said, that in order to be whole, you have to really go through brokenness.
Yeah. The shivrei luchos, the broken pieces of the luchos, were kept with the Aron, with the new luchos, like, why weren't they just discarded? They were no longer necessary. But there is something about the shivrei luchos, the brokenness of the broken luchos, also provide a great benefit to Klal Yisrael. It's an important message about what brokenness, about the benefits of brokenness, as difficult, as painful, as challenging as that may be. Yeah, 100%.
Rabbi, I want to give a donation to Kingsway. I'm not a member there. I live far away. But in honor of your classes, I would like to. Can you please give me the address?
Sure. It's 2810 Nostrand Avenue.
What's the zip?
11229. All right. And anybody else who
Thank
would like to...
Much.